Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 68 on June 29th, 2019. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on QDN Inc., JD.com, and the iShares 20-Year Treasury Bond ETF. And we discuss three new trades on Overstock.com, Macy's, and Advanced Micro Devices. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here or about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can reach me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's E-R-I-C. @theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know in order to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or visit our YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. Now, the markets finished the week relatively unchanged. Definitely feels like summertime around here now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed 119 points lower for the week, finishing at 26,599 points. The S&P 500 index backed off 8 points, closing at 2,941 points. So not a whole lot of activity, at least close to close this week. So the topic of the week is sponsored by the Option Studio. If you want to learn to trade options without any calculus and confusing language, visit the website to learn more about the online course. Visit www.theoptionstudio.com for more information. Now, the topic of the week this week is what I look for in debit spreads. Each week, I give three trade ideas. I give the covered call, I give credit spreads, and I give debit spreads. So I haven't defined and I haven't really discussed each of those trades in quite a while, so I wanted to dive in with debit spreads because they actually are one of my favorite option trade types. So what is a debit spread? Well, a debit spread is any spread that I purchase. I'm buying the spread. So rather than have a situation where I've sold a spread, which on a call spread would mean selling the lower strike, and on a put spread, selling the higher strike, it's the exact opposite. In a debit spread, on a call spread, I'm actually buying the lower strike and I'm selling the closer to the money strike. And then on a put spread, I would be buying the higher strike and selling the lower strike. And one of the reasons I like credit spreads is that it can lead to high returns, high percentage returns with capped risk. And that's exactly what every trader wants, right? You want to be able to make as much money as possible, but I want to cover my downside so that I can at least appropriately size the trade so I'm not taking on more risk than I want. And I also want to make sure that it's a defined risk right from the start. And with buying a spread, with trading spreads in general, I'm going to capture both of those. It'll be a defined risk, and specifically with buying one, I have a lot of good possibility of making some money. Part of that reason is that when you buy an option, an individual option, you need to be right on both the direction and the timing, right? So the timing matters because each option has a time value associated to it. So right now we're looking at July options that has 3 weeks left to expiration, not two and not four, 3 weeks. So if we're buying an individual option, that option needs to make its move within 3 weeks. As well, you need it's a directional trade. So typically people are buying out of the money options, and so they're hoping to get a big move in a defined amount of time in order to make a profit. And that's actually not what I do with debit spreads. On the debit spread, I actually buy in the money spreads. And the reason I buy in the money is if the market closed today, if the option expired right where it is, so I'm not depending on any big price movement, then I would end up capturing the full value for the spread. So let's say I pay 32 cents for a 50 cent wide spread. That means that at the end of the day, if prices expired right here where the stock is priced today, if the option expired where stock is priced right now, then that spread is going to be worth 50 cents. If I paid 32 cents for it, that means that over the next few weeks or during whatever the amount of time is left until expiration, that spread should, well, that I know that that spread is going to appreciate at the difference between the two strikes. So if we're looking at the $24.50 / 25 call spread, I know that that is a 50 cent wide spread. And if I own that spread and stock is $25 or higher at the end of the time frame, at the end of expiration, I'm going to, that spread is going to be worth 50 cents. If I'm able to pay 32 cents for something that I know is going to be worth 50 cents, that means that by math alone, I'm going to pick up 18 cents just if the stock sits still. So I don't want to be in a situation where I'm hoping for a big price movement in order to make my money. In fact, quite the opposite. I don't mind if stock stays right where it is, because I'll make my money just with regards to how options are priced at expiration. So that's my goal. I buy in the money, and I always look for spreads that are priced to achieve a return close to 50%. So I like that 50% number. If we stick with the numbers I just mentioned, so you're paying 32 cents for a 50 cent spread, that means I'm going to make 18 cents on 32 cents. That's actually better than 50%. It's closer to 56%. So that's fantastic. Like, if you can make those types of returns on your capital, you will be doing quite well in a short amount of time. And again, these are, because we're buying this spread, there's a defined risk right from the start. I know exactly what I could possibly lose. And so ideally, I also look for spreads that I'm able to cover a loss by selling another spread against it. So if I own a call spread and the market goes lower, I like to know that I still have time to sell a call spread against it and recapture the amount of money that I've lost in that stock movement as the stock headed lower. One of the big factors that I look for, assuming I get the pricing that I want in the options, the next thing that I look for is I look at the stock chart. Look at the prices. I want to make sure that the stock price is trending in the direction of my spread. So if I'm buying a call spread, I'm looking for a stock chart that is trending higher. If I buy a put spread, I want to find a stock chart that is trending lower. I try my best to avoid sideways or channeling markets. And I think I've mentioned that on this show before. I tend to not trade my best because I'm constantly looking for a breakout or a reversal. And in a sideways market, you don't get either of those. You just get more a continuation of that sideways market. So not something I would want to participate in. So definitely I'm looking for a directional trending market. And the other thing that I can do, and I don't talk about complex trades on this show, but I can always lower the overall price that I pay for this spread by selling a further out of the money spread of the same type. And the reason it needs to be further out of the money is that I want to allow myself some cushion so that if both spreads end up finishing in the money, then they'll wash each other out. However, if one is, and I'll actually end up locking in a small loss. What you ultimately want is for the stock price to finish in between your two strike, the higher spread or the closer to the money strikes on both spreads. Because in that scenario, the spread that you own will actually appreciate at full value, and the spread that you sold would expire worthless. The other thing that you have to make sure of is if you buy a call spread, right? If you buy an in-the-money call spread, Some of you might say, okay, well, the opposite of a call spread is a put spread, so I'll sell a put spread against it. But that's actually the same thing. Both of those spreads appreciate in value if the stock goes higher, and they depreciate in value relative to your profit if stock goes lower. So if you sold a put spread against a long call spread, or vice versa, you own a put spread and you sell a call spread against it. If you do that, you actually have just doubled your risk on the same direction of the market. It's putting all your eggs in one basket, which is not really what we're looking to do when we trade. So that's another reason why it's just important to understand options. If you understand options and how they work with regards to risk, you have a good shot at making consistent returns, consistent profits. And even when you do lose money, I mean, you guys have seen on the show, I occasionally will lose money. You don't freak out, because chances are the amount of money you lost was capped, and there's another way for you to make that return back and prepare yourself to trade for the next expiration month. So that's it for the topic of the week. Let's get into the trade review for the trades last week. We'll start off with the covered call that we traded. We had a covered call on QDN Inc., and it was an ADR. This is, I believe, a Chinese company. Stock symbol QD, Queen David. The stock at the time was trading for $8.18. And I looked at buying that stock and selling the July 9 call, collecting 25 cents. That was going to create a total return of 13% in 4 weeks. Well, QDN stock fell 68 cents this week, closing at $7.50 per share. The July 9 call that we sold fell 10 cents. That means altogether, we lost 68 cents in the stock. We made 10 cents on our call. So that's a total loss of 58 cents on this trade. Now, as usual, if I lose money on a covered call, my goal is to buy in the call option that I sold and then sell a lower strike call option. That's what we call rolling the strike lower. So we can collect 25 cents for selling the July 8 call. And if the stock gets back to $8 per share, you will still lock in a small profit overall on the total trade. So if the stock continues to fall, of course, we will continue to look to collect more premium by rolling the strike lower. So each time it drops, we're going to buy in the option that we sold, the call option we sold, and look to collect premium by selling a lower strike option that is closer to the money. Next up, we have the credit spread. We looked at JD.com, symbol JD, Jason David. Stock at the time was trading for $29.06. And I looked at selling the July 29-28 put spread at 38 cents, which leads to a possible maximum loss of 62 cents per spread. Well, JD stock rose $1.23 per share this week. The out-of-the-money put spread that we sold lost 12 cents per spread, which means that we made a small profit. Now, our maximum profit on this trade is the amount of money we collected when we sold the spread, and that's 38 cents per spread. So if you were to close this trade out, we've actually collected 31.5% of our maximum return, our maximum profit. Now, for some of you, that might be enough for 1 week. Capturing 31% of the trade is great. Now, for others, you might want to stay in this trade and let it expire worthless, and that tends to be more my style. That totally depends, of course, on your goals and your risk profile, which is also a function of how much capital you're trading. Now, we are $1.30 away from our short strike, so it doesn't hurt to just stay in this trade and let it depreciate more, because if it's out of the money, we know that in 3 weeks at expiration, this trade will expire worthless, and that means that we get to keep the entire 38 cents per spread that we collected when we sold it. And if you stay in, just remember, it's important to stay on top of movements in the stock price so that this trade doesn't become a loss. I always hate seeing a profit turn into a loss, so stay on top of that. And then our final trade from last week was a debit spread, and this is the style of trade I just talked about in the topic of the week. We looked at the iShares 20-year Treasury Bond ETF, symbol TLT, Thomas Larry Thomas. Stock at the time was trading for $131.43. We looked at buying the July 130-131 call spread, paying 66 cents for a $1 spread, which leads to a maximum gain of 34 cents per spread or 51% return in 4 weeks. Well, the iShares 20-year Treasury Bond ETF grew $1.38 this week, closing at $132.81. The call spread, that in-the-money call spread we purchased, is even more in the money today, so it's a nice win for us. The price in the market, however, for the spread is still priced exactly where we traded it, which is 66 cents. However, I know that this spread is going to appreciate in value rather quickly with stock in this region. And sometimes the market maker who's pricing, the designated primary market maker who sets the price for this every day at the beginning and end of the day, sometimes they'll price a spread like this by a certain way just to sort of keep their book flat or even to protect the crowd. I know that's not supposed to happen, but I worked on the floor of the exchange and I know how it works. But that doesn't mean that they can hold it there forever. And we will, if stock stays where it is or just stays higher than $131, we are making our full dollar on the spread. So the stock is still $1.81 or almost $2 above our short option in the spread. And we have 3 more weeks left until this spread's value approaches or expires, with price right here, expires being fully valued at $1, which will yield us our maximum profit of 34 cents or a 51% return on your capital in 4 weeks, but we have 3 weeks left. So making money makes me excited, and hopefully it gets you guys all active and happy as well. So if you want to put the podcast on pause to go do your happy dance, I fully will understand. However, for those of you who don't get nearly excited, I will continue. So this week, let's see, we have 3 weeks left before July expiration. Now that we're fully into summertime, I'm expecting the markets to slow down or really to become significantly less volatile, kind of like this week when both indices actually moved. They both fell a little bit, but it was less than 0.5%. That's pretty low. So lots of people go on vacation with their families, with their kids, while school is out. So that's part of the reason why the markets become a little less volatile, is that you'll see a dip in volume because just some of the bigger players, just more of the players have stepped away for the summertime. That being said, I still have 3 trades to look at for this week. We're going to start off with the covered call. We're looking at overstock.com, symbol OSTK, Oscar Sam Thomas Kevin. The stock finished the week at $13.61, and I'm looking at buying that stock and selling the July 14 call at 95 cents, which creates a possible return of 9.93% in 3 weeks. So I like on a covered call being able to get almost 10% return. So you enter this trade by buying Overstock shares for $13.61 per share and then selling the July 14 call at 95 cents per option. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $14 per share and the break-even price, which is the price at which we've neither lost money or made any money. The break-even price on this trade is $12.65. Our second trade for the week is a credit spread. We're looking at Macy's, symbol M as in Mary. Stock closed on Friday at $21.46 per share, and I'm looking at selling the July 21/2/22 call spread at 18 cents, which creates a maximum possible loss of 32 cents per spread. Now you enter this trade by selling the July 21/2 call at 65 cents per option and buying the July 22 call at 47 cents. And you obviously do that concurrently in order to capture the right value in that spread. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread and this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay below $21.50 per share where they are right now. The break-even price on this trade is $21.68. Now the final trade for the week, which always makes me sad, but I love this spread type, is a debit spread, the same type that we discussed in the topic of the week. This week we're looking at Advanced Micro Devices, symbol AMD, Apple Mary David. The stock ended the week at $30.37, and I'm looking at buying the July 29 half 30 call spread, paying 32 cents per spread, and that leaves us with a possible maximum gain of 18 cents or 56.25% return in 3 weeks. You enter this trade by buying the July 29 half call for $1.97 and selling the July 30 call at $1.65. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay above $30 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $29.82. Now that's it for the week. Thank you once again for listening to this show. Feel free to find us on YouTube and subscribe to our channel there. I'm going to be adding some unique content here very shortly. I've been working on for you guys. And also, if you have any friends that are interested in option trading, either in learning or maybe they're professionals already doing it, feel free to have them share the show with them. I love it. We're going to have some contests coming up as well. Just, I love summertime. We're going to have some fun. Even if the markets aren't volatile, we're still going to make some money. So that's it. Thanks for listening. Happy trading.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.